Good morning, everybody. I want to welcome all the survivors of the flu. Man, is it ripping us apart. We got a bunch of teenagers gone as well, but it's good to be with you this morning. And my sympathies to all of you Chief fans. I didn't watch the whole game, but it's great to be together today with you here at Greater Alton Church. My name's Tim. I've got something I need to announce. My wife made sure to let you know that the ladies' retreat, we're wanting you ladies to make sure you sign up. I think next weekend's is the deadline. So please sign up if you're planning on going. They would love to get a firm number of people that are going, all right? We've been looking at the steps, following in his steps. The Bible calls us to do this. Would you agree with this statement, that Jesus is a walking and living object lesson? Yeah, I think that's true. A walking and breathing object lesson. He shows us everything. When you look at Jesus Christ, he shows you what God is like, but he also shows you and I what we're to be like. He models for us how to love God, how to love each other, love people. He shows us what it means to have value, to have values, to live with purpose, to be a servant. He shows you and I the life of humility. He shows us how to give and forgive. I mean, he's the total package. He walked the walk. He talked the talk that he walked. He did it all. He was the perfect example of this. Look what the Bible says in 1 Peter 2. One of his closest disciples said, Christ who suffered for you is your example. Follow in his steps. And that's what we've been doing. That's what we're doing this year, is focusing on this idea, this concept of what would Jesus do? How can I follow in his steps? Because his steps are everywhere. Every time it snows, you see all these footprints everywhere. I'm walking in the house after it snowed and I notice there's Denise's footprints. Sometimes she's outside in her sock feet. What is she doing? And then I see the kitty cat's footprints. Well, the footprints of Jesus are everywhere in every area of our life. And they're plain to be able for us to see, and they're provided for us to follow. Now, when I think about Jesus suffering for this example, to follow his steps, I don't know how you are, but I think about the cross. He suffered on the cross. Wouldn't you think about that? Of course. But there's other places at other times that Jesus suffered. And one of them is at a place where, like you and I, we suffer. And that's at this crossroads of choice where temptation, where we face temptation is. Look at this passage. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he's able to help those who are being tempted. Jesus suffered when he's being tempted. Well, why is Jesus tempted to begin with? Well, it wasn't for his benefit as much as for our benefit. He models for us what it means to go through temptation and what to do when we're tempted. Now, what I want to do is if you have a Bible or if you've got a cell phone, you want to go to some Bible website, I'm going to read Matthew 4, 1 through 11. The temptation of Jesus is recorded in Matthew 4, Luke 4, and in Mark 1. And Matthew 4 probably has, it covers it the most. That's why I've chosen it this morning. Here's how it goes. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand in the highest point of the temple. If you're the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it is also written, do not put your Lord God to the test. Again, the devil took him to the very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended to him. We see in this passage, I'm using this acronym STEPS, we see how Jesus handles temptation, and he's wanting to show you and I how to handle it when it's present in our lives. What are those steps? Well, let's get right into them. The first one, S, and that is see how temptation works in my life. That's the first step, that I see how temptation works, that I'm familiar with what the Bible says about temptation. For example, let me give you seven truths about temptation. The first one is temptation is normal. Everybody's tempted. Even Jesus Christ on this earth was tempted. Everybody's tempted. Look what it says here. Everyone is tempted by their own cravings. They are lured away and enticed by them. I think the book of Hebrews, the Hebrew writer says that Jesus was tempted in every way, and he was tempted often. So it doesn't matter how smart you are, how talented you are, how old you are, how young you are. It doesn't matter how much you've accomplished, or even how righteous you are. We all are going to be tempted. You're tempted, I'm tempted. Every day. We are at the crossroads of choice, and that's where we're tempted. Here's the second thing about temptation. It's not a sin. Temptation's not a sin. You know, I got to thinking about this. Temptation existed before the fall of man. For us to have free choice, there has to be temptation. It's there. It's a real thing. And you say, well, wait a minute, Tim, I don't know about that. Well, Jesus, the Bible says, was tempted yet was without sin. So you can be tempted and not sin. Makes sense. Look what the Bible says here in James 1. Temptation is the pull of man's own evil thoughts and wishes. These evil thoughts lead to evil actions and afterwards to the death penalty from God. See, it's not my desire that causes me to sin. It's the decision I make from it that can lead to sin. See the difference? So like Jesus, I'm not separated. You're not separated. We're not separated from God when we're tempted. In fact, the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness and stayed with Jesus in the wilderness. God stayed with Jesus throughout for all the things he was tempted by Satan. And he stays with you and I in temptation. He doesn't cut and run. Oh, you're tempted. I'm out. No. No, I'm here to help you is what the Holy Spirit's role is. I'm here to help lead you in this temptation. Number three, temptation is opportunistic. Is it me or does temptation have such an incredible, uncanny way of having the perfect timing? It seems to come at a perfect time. The Lord, see, is tempted. When he's tempted, it's on the heels of, if you read Matthew 4, just before that he was baptized. The Spirit of God comes down as a dove and rests on him, and a voice from heaven, like heaven, opens up, and a voice from heaven says, "This is my son. Listen to him. You know, I'm very pleased with him." And wow, you know, what a mountaintop experience. But on the heels of that, he's in the wilderness, and he's tempted by Satan. Sometimes God, you know, blesses us, and Satan's right there to try to ruin it. He wants to tempt us. I don't know how many times I've been tempted after I've preached to quit. After something awesome happens, I want to give up. I know for years, and I'm saying it doesn't happen. Last time I preached, I went home and I was in a funk for about 2 hours. I was like, why am I doing this? That was awful. And then I read Lois's card. I read your card, Lois. You encouraged me. I read a guest that says, just simply says, pain and pride is keeping me in the wilderness. I went, oh my gosh. The courage it took to write that on a prayer card. And I'm thinking, well, maybe it wasn't as bad as I thought. Temptation's always around. Even on the heels of something good. But Jesus here is alone. And he hasn't had anything to eat for 40 minutes. 40 days? I don't know about you, but I'm going to China Walk. I'm going somewhere. Can you imagine? And he's alone. He hasn't eaten. Don't you, you guys ever get lightheaded or kind of spacey if you haven't had, kind of like Roseanne, that commercial with the Snickers bar? You need a Snickers. I need something just to tie me over. Jesus hasn't eaten in so long. He's got to be weak. And Satan sees this and Satan knows this. And just like him looking at Jesus and watching him, he watches you and I. He sees our vulnerable moments. He sees when we're tired. He watches us. The Bible says he prowls around like a roaring lion. And lions, if you only think about lions, they are looking for something to devour. And it's always someone that's wandered from the herd or something sickly or something weak. He sees what, he watches us. He knows when we're tired. He knows when we're discouraged. He knows when we're on the heels of failure, or we've isolated ourselves, or we're at a weak moment, or we're lonely or afraid. All these, we have doubts. He shows up. We worry. He shows up. Someone says something and immediately the temptation is to fire right back and we get angry and only to do what? Why did I do that? Why did I fall for that again? When we're hurt, he shows up.
Why did they hurt you? Nobody cares about you.
Tempting us to retaliate. Tempting us. We might experience something successful or something where we taste a little power and our pride, and he says, don't you like it? Want more? Want more? It's like Satan knows exactly, or just about exactly, when to tempt us. It's worked on so many other people. Why wouldn't it work on me? So we shouldn't be surprised when temptation comes. It has incredible timing. And number four, temptation will test my faith. It's interesting that this Greek word and the word behind this, a word that he's being tempted into wilderness, can also be translated tested. Look at this passage. Here's an example in the contemporary English version. The Holy Spirit led Jesus into the desert so that the devil could test him. How's that? How does temptation work? Well, sometimes temptation, like a test, will show me what I know, what I don't know, and what I need to know. Sometimes temptation will show me who I am, who I'm not, and who I need to be. I've had people ask me to do some silly things in the auto glass business, and I go, why would they ask me? Do they think I would do that? That reveals something about me, see, and who I'm not, and who I need to be. So temptation will test our faith over and over again. Number five, temptation has a shelf life. Thank God. It has a shelf life. Jesus is wrestling with temptation. We don't know how long. It's after 40 days. Some people think it's during 40 days. All I know is that Satan finally gives up. It has a shelf life. And there's been times in my life, and maybe you can think of some times when you're tempted by something, but you just kind of hesitate, take a breath, count to 10, whatever it be. And because you've hesitated and waited a little bit, that temptation subsides. Temptation has a shelf life. That's encouraging to know. That's what it says here. After the devil had finished tempting Jesus in every possible way, the devil left him. Sometimes we just need to endure and persist a little longer, a second longer than Satan. And then number six, temptation returns. It's always going to return. Jesus is tempted often. In fact, he's tempted even on the cross. If you're the Son of God, come off the cross. Well, I'm the Son of God. I'm coming off. He stays on the cross. He's saying, I'm going to die. I'm going to be killed, Jesus says. And Peter says, never. It'll never happen. What's Jesus say to Peter? Get behind me, Satan, because you're a stumbling block. Look at that word stumbling block, that phrase. He's saying, you're tempting me. You don't have the things of God in your head, but the things of this world, of man. When he's at Gethsemane, he's praying, Lord, is there any way to take this cup from me? He's tempted. And he prays through it. He's tempted over and over. How many people, I read some, but were, I can't remember who it was, I read some where Jesus, how many stupid, dumb user people did he run into that he could have went off on them anytime he wanted to and refuses to? I think Peter says something about when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. He made no idle threats. He didn't threaten them, but he entrusted to God. He entrusted it all to God. He was tempted often. You're going to be tempted often. I'm going to be tempted often. That's something we need to know about temptation. And number seven, temptation can be overcome. You can get through your temptations. I can get through mine. I love this. In 1 Corinthians 10, Paul said this, "You are tempted in the same way that everyone else is tempted." So it's common. It's normal. "But God can be trusted not to let you be tempted too much. And he will show you how to escape from your temptations." You see, Jesus supplies a path, an escape route, if you will, out of every temptation. All we have to do is follow it. So that first step is just to see how temptation works. What's T stand for? T stands for treasure what God says. Treasure what God says. I'm reading a book right now. This is what I'm reading for my devotional book in 2025. It's by Timothy Keller called The Songs of Jesus. I didn't know this, that Jesus quotes the book of Psalms more than any book in the Bible. Over 50 times he quotes it. And really, it's just what I like about it is it's a one-page devotional. I can get through that fast, you know. And it's so encouraging. Timothy Keller doesn't waste a word, but it's called The Songs of Jesus. And I notice that Jesus treasures the Word of God. You want to overcome temptation? You want to deal with it? Treasure, cherish what God says. Listen to what God says. Repeat what God says. Say it out loud to yourself if you have to. Because revering God's Word helps you resist temptation. And he does this all the time. I think I've got in your notes, it is written. Notice how many times he says this. It is written. He goes on to say, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And then he says this, "It is also written." It is also written. He's saying, Satan quotes some passages, and Jesus says, "Well, you know, you didn't quote that completely. You missed out some parts." And by the way, I love the way Jesus practices this. He says, "It is also written." He uses scripture with other scripture to help to get to what God wants. I can make the Bible say anything I want to if I take it out of context. And so can you. So we have to use, Jesus knew, we got to use other scriptures together. And as Satan used one out of context, he said, "Well, there's another one that kind of helps us understand this." And then he goes on to say, he said at the very end, he says, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." By the way, he's quoting the book of Deuteronomy. Did you know that? He's quoting Old Testament passages. I guess it's okay to let Old Testament encourage you. It's good stuff. And by the way, this is not some magical incantation he's saying. You know, he's not using some magical words formula and Satan's going, you know, he doesn't do that. That's not what it's about. It's not anything like that. He's not saying it even for Satan's benefit. He's saying it for his benefit. He's reminding himself. He's saying it for your benefit. To cherish and treasure the Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God will encourage you when you're feeling weak. It'll strengthen you when you're feeling weak. When you're in trouble and you're being tempted, it will help you and lead you in your temptation and out of your temptation. You have a favorite verse in the Bible? How many do you have? How many do you have? Here's my newest one. This is the newest verse. "I always look to you because you rescue me from every trap." That's Psalms 25. "I always look to you, Lord, because you rescue me from every trap." Now, why am I saying that? I'm saying that for me. I need to remember that. Next time somebody says something stupid on the phone or somebody does something that makes me angry, Lord, I feel a trap coming. I'm calling on you because you'll help me through this trap. Whenever I want to lie, when I see a woman that's a beautiful woman, what do I do with that? What's the decision going to be? Am I going to keep looking? That's lust. Or will I look to God's Word and listen to God's Word, encourage me? Lord, I feel a trap coming. I see a trap coming. Help me. I look to you. I look to you to do that. It's treasuring the Word of God. What's your favorite verses? I would plaster them in lots of places. I knew a lady one time that rolled up scriptures and put them in the perimeter of her yard. And I said, why are you doing that? She goes, to keep the demons out. And I go, the demons get in here. They're trying to get in here. You need to memorize. You need to have these verses in front of you that'll encourage you. And that's what Jesus, he does. He keeps bringing up the Word of God to hear himself. And by the way, when he's on the cross, he's even bringing up the Word of God because he's being tempted. What's E? Well, I see what temptation does in my life. I get a good idea of how it works. I treasure what God says. The next thing is I eliminate footholds. I've got to eliminate some footholds. I've got to identify what a foothold is in my life, and I've got to eradicate that thing. I've got to get rid of that foothold. Why? Because footholds become strongholds. Every stronghold starts with a foothold. Look at what the Bible says here. Do not give the devil a foothold in Ephesians 4:27. Here's another translation. Do not give the devil an opportunity to work. What is a foothold? It's a toehold. I texted Richard. I said, Richard, you're an avid rock climber. How does that work? He goes, what do you mean? I go, well, when you started, don't you have footholds and handholds? He goes, yeah. And I go, do they change? He goes, well, as you get more experienced, then you don't need as big a handhold or as big a foothold. You learn. If you just got a toehold, you can climb. And I think about how experienced Satan is. Because I've only been around 67 years. He's been around since the beginning. He's very experienced. And so he doesn't need much. Not as much as he may used to. All he needs is a little opportunity to work, a little foothold. What do footholds look like? Well, they can form in my head. They can be in places. They can also be in a person, a foothold for the saint to use. Footholds can be found near, I find footholds are near pleasure, pain, and pride. That's where I find it personally, where the devil tries to get a foothold when I'm after some pleasure. Or I've been hurt, gets a foothold to make me bitter. That's where he's working. That's where he's working on me now. That's where he's working on me right now. I bet someone else is feeling that too. Am I right? And pride. If he could just get a little, you're all that, Tim, you're pretty good. If he could just get a toehold, what's it do? It'll destroy me. I love this. Next is up here on the screen. Here's how this contemporary English version says it. Don't give the devil a chance. I think, remember Dumb and Dumber? Oh, so what do you think the odds are of a girl like me and a guy like you getting together? Remember Jim Carrey saying that? She goes, 1,000,000 to 1. So what you're saying is, I still got a chance. Right? Yeah, and the devil's going, 1,000,000 to 1, devil. So what you're telling me is, I've got a chance. Jesus doesn't give the devil a chance. Doesn't even give him anything to work with. I love that. He's showing us, you can do the same thing, Tim. Just eliminate those, just eliminate them. He doesn't flirt with sin. He doesn't joke around with it. He is serious as a heart attack about it. Because footholds become strongholds. See, what seems to be harmless to me can get a hold of me. I couldn't help, I read one commentator said something about, notice the progression in Matthew 4. It says the tempter came. And they talked about, these commentaries were talking about, wonder what Satan looked like. You know, he was a serpent with Eve. What did he look like in the wilderness with Jesus? And some believe he was an old man or a scribe. No, we can't prove it. But he's called the tempter. And a lot of the time, when we're first tempted, we don't know where it's coming from. It's hard to pinpoint where the source is. It's even hard to recognize it at times. But if it gets a hold of me, it can harm me. See, there can be no compromise in eliminating footholds. You've got to be vigilant about it, church. You've got to be vigilant about your temptations. I have to be vigilant about mine. Look what the Bible says here. Paul said this, so then put to death those things of this world which are in you. Circle put to death. Put to death. He doesn't say wound it. He doesn't say graze it. He doesn't say, you know, let's strike a deal. No, he says you got to kill it. James says it this way, so get rid of everything that is sinful. Then he says this, get rid of the evil that is all around us. What's he talking about there? He's talking about getting really serious about some things. Or it could harm you. My mother is going through peritoneal dialysis right now. She's sitting in the back row. And she's, I think, had three. We've done three right now so far. And so she calls and Danny and I and says, hey, listen, fellas, you guys need to take some classes at DaVita. They're over by Applebee's on the Beltline. And I go, okay, what day? Oh, it's not one day. We're going through eight classes, and most of them are 4 hours long. What? Yeah, 4 hours from 2 to 5. What are we going to be learning? Well, you'll see. And my mother's familiar with peritoneal dialysis because she took care of Jose, who had that same process. So we walk in, and here comes this nice petite nurse, and just sweet as pie, and goes, okay, now here's what we're going to do. And we go through this procedure. I can't believe how many times you got to wash your hands. Put on gloves. Put on a mask. We do that. Now go back and wash. Danny, wash your hands for 1 minute. Get it good. Get it good. Okay. Put on the gloves. Now go back and wash 2 minutes. Again? You're worse than mom. Washing my hands again. 2 minutes. Now you're going to hook this up. Now understand, if you take this and it touches something before you get connected, you got to start all over. Why? Because she could get peritonitis if you get the slightest germ. Well, she's not washing her hands. She's just using that gooey stuff. How come I can't use it? Well, her germs are her germs, but your germs are not hers. And if one mistake, you got to start over. Throw it all away. All of it? All of it. Throw it all away. Why? Why so serious? Because it risks infection is why. I love my mommy. I would hate to do something that would infect her. We have it written down. It's on a chart on the wall. We've written it down. I've taken notes. I wanted to videotape. The nurse says, you can't do that. Why not? I do not want to make a mistake here. Get rid of the evil that is all around us. See, a serious step of overcoming temptation may include things like this, cutting the cable. It may be pouring it down the sink. It may be avoiding certain places. You go, I just can't go there. It may be getting some serious accountability to say, you know what? I'm going to have some people help me with this. I got to have some extra eyes. I was talking to Chuck this week. We were talking about how we can't see the back of our heads. We have blind spots. We need those other people in our lives. Sometimes it's ending a relationship. It's just too toxic. It's not working out. Sometimes it may involve just forgiving. Just forgiving this person. I want to ask you this. I think some people call it triggers. Is there something triggering you? I want to tell you, you cannot wound it. You've got to eliminate those triggers. They have to go. What's P stand for? P stands for pray for God's help. Now I got to sit here and tell you, church, I am, for years, I question the power of prayer. I'll say it like that. You say, are you kidding me, Tim? No. If you watch me, there's times I do stuff without even praying about it. That's how you know. How much do you believe in prayer? Do you pray? The Bible says pray continually. Pray all the time. Do you pray all the time? I've noticed the difference when I pray all the time. I also notice the difference when I neglect praying all the time. And Jesus has spent, look what it says here. It says, he did not eat anything for 40 days and 40 nights. Well, that means he went without food, Tim. Well, he was fasting. And usually when a man is or a woman's fasting in the Bible, they are praying. In other words, he can't eat because he's so caught up in prayer. You ever been caught up in something so much that you're about to burst? You got to run to the bathroom? Or you're so worked up about something, hey, we're going to go out. I don't want to eat. I can't. Maybe someone's died. Maybe something tragic's happened. You can't even eat. You're going through something stressful, and people can tell you're losing weight. Why aren't you eating? Because this is happening right now, and I've got this so focused right now. Jesus is so dialed in and praying, and it's what I notice again is that he's calling on the Spirit to help him as he's beginning a ministry, and it begins as he's going through a temptation. And though Jesus appears all alone, I love this because there's times, don't you feel lonely sometimes and all alone? Where's God? He's not. You know, Jesus doesn't have somebody. John the Baptist is not in the wilderness with him. Last time I checked, he came out of the wilderness, right? Yeah, and he stayed out. You know? So Jesus is by himself. Physically, there's no physical person there. Is he alone? Not really. And there's times when Satan knows when we're all by ourselves. Now I'm going to zero in on him. But you're not alone. The Spirit that leads you in life and happens to lead you where temptation is, stays with you to help you. I think he's referred to as a parakletos, if I understand Greek and stuff. What is a parakletos? The Holy Spirit's referred to as our parakletos. Well, that's just a fancy way to say he runs alongside us to help us. So why not pray? See, prayer gives you and I, like Jesus, an emotional, mental, and faithful edge over temptation. Listen to me closely. We empower our life when we walk with God on our knees. Let me say it again. We empower our life when we walk with God on our knees. That's how powerful prayer is. Jesus knew this. Look at what he says here in Matthew 6. They're saying, how do we pray? How do we pray? He says, keep us from sinning when we're tempted. Pray like that. Ask God to keep you from sinning when you're tempted and to save you from the evil one. When at Gethsemane, they're all falling asleep. You know, the guys are tired. He says, the spirit is willing, the body is weak. I know you guys want to stay up, but we've had a long day. We've had a long week. And at Gethsemane, Jesus is praying about this cup. And he comes back and he says to his disciples, keep alert and pray. Otherwise, temptation will overpower you. There's something we ought to have around. Maybe on our dash, on our mirror, on our computer screen. Keep alert and pray. Keep alert and pray. Watch and pray. Watch for what? Watch for what? Watch for Satan? Sure. I get with a group of guys on Saturday, and Michael was talking something about this. He was talking about how when we lower our guard, and Mike Danius was talking about this, we stop looking, and that's when we get in trouble. You know, oh, we're fine. I'm good. And Satan's just waiting for us to take our eyes off the battle. Just alert, keep alert, and pray. Why? Because if without it, you'll be overpowered. Many times I've been with my brother. We get together for coffee, or we're together at a family function, and his phone rings, and he answers. Yeah, what's up? What? And I watch his face just change. Don't do it. Don't do it. Where are you? Where are you right now? Okay, listen to me. Don't do a thing. Stop where you are. Stop right. Where are you again? I'm in my truck. I'm going to my truck right now. I'll be right there. Don't you go anywhere. What's he doing? He's a sponsor. And this person is calling him. I don't know who it is. All I know is they're in trouble on the other end. What's he do? Before he falls into temptation, he goes, I'm going to phone a friend. I'm going to find someone that can help me. I want you to know Jesus, though he appears alone, he's not. And when he calls for help, the Holy Spirit, when you're alone, the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart and say, don't do it. Where are you? Don't do it. I'm right here. Come on. No, listen to me. Here's a verse. Here's a thought. Here's a friend. Think about it. You know, it's funny. Some of you know this happens. You're about to do something and the phone rings and it's your mother or your wife. What's going on? I'll never forget. Denise one time goes, I'm unsettled. I go, why? I think my son's in trouble. Well, there's the mother's intuition, and just above it's the Holy Spirit. That's how I see it. And she called. I don't know what you're doing, but you need to get home right now. Yes, mother. The Holy Spirit works much, much better. Don't do it. Encouraging you and I, strengthening you and I. You're going to be okay. Don't quit. It's going to be all right. If we'll hang in here. Look, stay with me a little longer. It's about to pass. It's about to pass. See? I don't know how many times I've prayed. Praying in my temptation. Why do I not want it anymore? That's the power of prayer. That's the power of God. That's the weakness of temptation, its shelf life, all working together. I love this passage here because Jesus is quoting Psalms 22. We all know the quotation, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's verse 1. You know, Jesus didn't stop quoting that. That's what the disciples heard. But I can hear Jesus muttering, maybe not quite hearing it because he's in pain. Verse 11 says this, do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there's no one to help. He's like, I'm all by myself right now, Lord. And it's that prayer of desperation that keeps him on his cross. And that prayer of desperation will keep you safe and on your cross when Satan tempts you and I. And I say to you again, you may feel a little alone, but I want you to know you're not without help. I have nobody. Yeah, you do. If there's not a body around, the Spirit of God is around, all around you, walks beside you, and when you call Him, He's going to say, don't do it. Let's go work through this together. What's S stand for? What's a step that Jesus shows us? It's a step of surrender and serve God. You ever played, what would you do for $1 million? If I had $1 million. Yeah. Charlie Swerslows, he was a co-worker of mine when I was working in Tool and Die. He was a press operator at Champion Laboratory. And one time he came to work and he had a tip of his finger missing. I go, what happened? I got caught in a press. How did you do that? He goes, well, I wanted a new John boat. And I was told if I lose part of my finger, I get $1,000. And I, oh! And he goes, it'll heal. And I got a John boat. Everybody has their price. Maybe you don't want a John boat. Maybe you want to be popular. Maybe you want to be powerful. Maybe you want a big house, a new truck. Or maybe it's a promotion. Or to see someone else suffer. You see where I'm going? What's your price to fall for temptation? Jesus, everybody had his price. Jesus had one too. It was priceless. Satan couldn't touch it. It's almost like Satan saying, he says, look at the kingdoms of the world. You can have all this. He goes, that's on clearance. Because I get this and something else. Turn these stones into bread. And Jesus sits there and goes, you know, I could just imagine Satan going, out here all by yourself. How, why would God do this to you, leads you in the middle of nowhere and won't feed you, won't take care of you? I told you God, he isn't going to take care of you, but you can do it because you have the power. You just found out you've got this power. Do it yourself. Do it yourself. Rely on yourself. Turn the stones into bread. He says, I can't do that. Why? I won't do that. Why? Man doesn't. I will not let my circumstances on earth dictate what I do. I'm going to trust the Lord because my spiritual needs are much more important than my physical needs. Hear that, church? You listening? My spiritual needs are much more important than my physical needs. You say, that's easy for you to say. No, it's not, because I'm tempted just like all of you. We're Americans. We think if we had more stuff, we'd be happier. And we let our spiritual health slide. Jesus says, don't do that, Tim. Don't let your circumstances dictate what you're going to do. Surrender. Don't give in to that. Give in to God. Give in to what that God will take care of you. He hears stuff like, jump. God doesn't care about you. Oh, and if he does, well, since he does, he will take care of you. So jump. And Jesus looks like, I can just imagine you going, but that doesn't mean I should do something stupid. Just because God will take care of me. Why don't I just trust that God will take care of me and skip the stupid stuff? That just makes sense. Yeah. Look what he says here. Jesus answered, go away, Satan. The scripture says, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left Jesus and the angels came to help him. I love this. Worship. Bow. Bow. Worship. Serve. It takes to serve, we surrender. Serve him only. So instead of giving in to my temptation, I just need to give in to my God. I love this. James 4 says this, surrender to God, resist the devil, and he will run from you. You don't have to run. You don't have to flee. Devil takes off. When? I just surrender to God. It'll help me resist the devil, and he will run. Oh, he'll come back later. So what do I do when he comes back? Surrender again. Surrender again. Surrender again. Let me ask you this morning as we close, what are you being tempted? Where are you being tempted? What are you being tempted with? Maybe ask, where do you think, if you were Satan, where would you tempt you? What foothold does he have? Got to tell you, it's going to become a stronghold if you're not careful. I want you to know this morning, Jesus knows he suffered just like you suffer in temptation. It's hard. Sometimes it's so difficult. He went through the same thing. And he's not saying, Tim can show you how to be overcome temptation 100%. 9, 7, 6. Forget Tim. Jesus can show you how to overcome temptation 100% of the time. He probably, I don't know, there's times I can't see myself even getting there. And Jesus says, that doesn't mean it can't happen. It just means you're not looking. You're not really looking to me. What step can you take to overcome your temptation? Is there something you need to get radical about and eliminate, to kill? Is it still got a pulse? Maybe it needs to be double tapped. Do you need to surrender? Maybe that's the answer. I just need to surrender this and just trust God. I can be happy and I can experience pleasure without that. Can you talk to someone about it? Let me encourage you to have the... I've learned a few years ago the value of turning over all the cards. And man, is it a blessing. If you have the... Just have the courage to go, I'm going to turn over the ace of spades in my life. This is the one that I've been hiding for years. Bam. I don't know where you are this morning, but I just want you to know that God is anxious to lead you while you're in temptation. Because He knows the way out. May God bless you to find that way. Surrender to Him. There's a card in your bulletin. If you want to fill something out, do something brave and say, maybe it's something like this. You could write, by the way, don't put your name on the card. And we don't have any handwriting experts to figure out who you are. Believe me. Don't put your name on the card today. Just put, this is where I'm being tempted. Or this is the step I'm going to take. And let people pray for you, because God knows and you know, and that's enough. I'm going to give you some time to do that after I pray here, and then we'll close out our services. Let's pray together. Father, right now we bow together to thank you for your power over our temptations. Father, thank you for caring enough to come to earth as a human and walk in our shoes. You do understand, don't you? You were tempted just like us. And you show us how we can deal with these temptations we're facing. Father, right now, as you look into our hearts, we look, each of us are looking into our hearts with you. You see how we're being tempted. You see the lust. You see the temptation to lie, to cheat, to lose our cool, to run, to quit, to complain, to hold a grudge. Oh, Father, we ask you, lead us in our temptations and deliver us from the evil one. He is sneaky and he fights dirty. Help us believe you give the power to trust you. And you give us the power when we trust you. We treasure your words, Father. Man, there's some great promises. And there's some we haven't even seen. We pray you lead us to them because we know they'll encourage us. And as we recall some of them, let them encourage us this morning not to give Satan a chance. Would you help us today, Lord? That's what we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
I will never be the same again. I can never return. I've closed the door. I will walk the path. I'll run the race. And I will never be the same again. I will never be the same again. I can never return. I close the door. I will walk the path. I will walk the path. I'll run the race. And I will never be the same again. All like fire, come on and soak like rain. Flow like mighty waters again and again. Sweep away the darkness, burn away the chaff, and let a flame burn to glorify your name. Whatever you need to do, Lord, do in me. The glory of God fills my life, and I will never be the same again. Fall like fire, come on and soak like rain. Blow like mighty water. And I'll run the race, and I will never be the same again, and I will never be the same again. Oh no, and I will never be the same again.